Joshua 24, 29 through 31. After these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in his own inheritance at Timnathserah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. Amen.
Now, what do you say? What do you say about a life well lived? And I've been to many funerals. And I've been to funerals where there was more things to say than there was time to say it. And I've been to funerals also where there was more time than there was things to say. What do you say? What do you say about a life well lived? When it comes to speaking and attending funerals, I find that the world often has a lot to say. Funeral services of famous people in this world are remarkable events. You think of the funeral of Princess Diana, Whitney Houston, former President Bush. These services often go on for hours and hours and hours with a lot of people saying a lot of things. What I've noticed, I'm sure you have too, is that what most people say at funerals is they say what they probably should have said or wish they had said when the person was alive. Or they'll talk about how good that person was at cooking, or how good of a singer he or she was, or how good of an athlete, or how much money he or she made, or and how much money he or she gave away. And all these things, beloved, all these things may be true. And in their own right, they are nice in this world. And yet, biblically speaking, when I search the scriptures, there is only really one question that needs to be asked and answered at anybody's funeral. And the question is, was he or she faithful? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how well you play the drums. It doesn't matter how well you cooked. It doesn't matter how much money you made or how much money you gave away. It doesn't matter how well you played football. There's only one thing that matters in the end. And that is, will Jesus look at you and say, out of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful. Beloved, there is nothing more important in living and therefore in dying than faithfulness. And faithful is who God is, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible plainly says that God is faithful. But faithful is not just who God is. Faithful is what God looks for. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, Will he find faith on the earth? This is a testimony of Scripture over and over again, the importance and the primacy of faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? See the rarity and the primacy that the Scriptures put upon a faithfulness. Psalms 101, verse 6. God says, my eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. Those whose walk is blameless will minister to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust, what? Must prove faithful. Faithful. And the Bible is wrought. It gives us several examples of faithfulness and what faithfulness looks like, beloved. And tells us that there are faithful men and women. So that you don't get discouraged, it reminds us of Timothy in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says, for this reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. Faithfulness. It's what God looks for. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, speaking of Tychicus. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities, the Apostle Paul writes. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister. Faithful. And speaking of Onesimus, a couple of verses later, he says, and he is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. And then Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12, speaks of Silas, where he says, by Silvanus or Silas, a faithful brother as I regard him. I regard him as faithful. So the New Testament is filled. It gives us these illustrations and examples of men and their women in the Bible who are faithful. And in the Old Testament, this is also true. In fact, I want to suggest to you this morning that in the Old Testament, there are two people. There are two people who kind of set the bar, who set the standard for faithfulness. And they are the two people that we have been looking at here recent times at East Point Church. They are Moses and Joshua. And this morning, as we come to the end of our time in the book of Joshua, and we come to the end of Joshua's life, as we have seen, as we have examined the book of Joshua, and as we will see this morning, Joshua, if he was anything, he was faithful. Joshua lived a long and a full life. It was filled with wonder. It was filled with adventure. You go over Joshua's life, and it was just like one big event after the other. It was filled with the ups and downs. It was filled with the good and the bad that comes in the life of faith. And as we come to the end, as we read these final words, as they close out this chapter in this man of faith life, it's almost a sort as we come to his funeral. And unlike us, well, we spend hours and hours and hours and hours talking about someone. The Bible doesn't do that, beloved. The Bible reminds us that there doesn't need to be a lot said except Joshua was faithful. Joshua was faithful. In fact, in these brief closing words here, these three verses that we're looking at this morning, we see what matters most. The faithfulness of Joshua, the faithfulness of Israel, but ultimately, the faithfulness of God. You see this as it kind of gives us, points to the faithfulness of Joshua. As these words conclude the life of Joshua and kind of put a period on his life, it says that in verse 29, after Joshua said these things, or after these things, after Joshua had set things in order, after he had fulfilled the final duties that the Lord had given to him, after he had fulfilled his calling to the nation, after he had established covenantal prosperity, after he had established the purity of worship, after his work on earth was done, the land had been secured, the covenant had been ratified, the future course of the nation had been set. Then the Bible says, straightforward, very simply, Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died. That's it. All that living. And the Bible simply says, Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died. And yet, beloved, I want to suggest to you this morning that in those few words, God says a lot. Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died. One of the giants of the faith had fallen. And yet, in God's grand scheme of things, he was just a servant. Servant of the Lord. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. Joshua is here at the end of his days, given the designation and title, servant of the Lord. Now, this is a title, beloved, of humble distinction. This is a title of willing submission. It is a title of one seeking and performing the will of the Lord. Now, as far as titles go at times, being called a servant of God, being called a servant of the Lord is nothing unique. Abraham was called a servant of the Lord, and Isaac at one point, and Jacob, David, several other prophets in other cases. And yet there's something unique about Joshua receiving this title. And the reason there's something unique about Joshua receiving at the end of his days this title, the servant of the Lord, is because the servant of the Lord is actually the default title of Moses. I mean, of all the people in the scriptures who were given the title the servant of the Lord, it seems like that these were just given the title in a moment's time, but Moses was given the title for life. And you see this over and over again. No one is called the servant of the Lord more than Moses is. In fact, as we've gone through Joshua, no less than 4 times in the book of Joshua, whenever the name Moses is mentioned, it mentions Moses, the servant of the Lord. Not to mention all the other places that where Moses' name is mentioned is followed by the title, the servant of the Lord. In fact, if you go back to Joshua, chapter 1, and then the book of Joshua begins with God speaking to Joshua, right? Chapter 1 and verse 2, God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, Joshua, is dead. It is as if God was lamenting the fact that he had lost his personal attaché. God had lost the one who was his assistant, but more than just an assistant, he was his friend. He was Alfred to God's Bruce Wayne. He was Dembe to God's Reddington, if you care about such things. In fact, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says something real interesting, right? When Moses died, Joshua is called the assistant of Moses. And at the end of Joshua's life, Joshua is called God's assistant. When God first called him, he was Moses' assistant. By the end of his days, he was called and given the honored title of the servant of Yahweh. Servant, beloved, is not something that we typically hold in high esteem. The world has always looked down at servants and still does. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, beloved, the best in the kingdom are the servants. In the world, your measure of greatness is seen in how many servants you have. In the kingdom of God, greatness is measured by how many you're willing to serve. This is why David can say in Psalm 84 and verse 10, I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than to live the good life in the homes of the wicked. I'd rather be a servant in the house of God than to be served in all the other houses of the world. A servant. Jesus said in Luke 17 and verse 10, when you had done everything you were told to do, you should still say that we are unworthy servants. And to be called a servant, beloved, is to be called to serve. And to be called to serve is to be faithful. And this is the reason, beloved, I am confident that Joshua was called the servant of the Lord. Joshua was called a servant of the Lord because Joshua was faithful. And Joshua was faithful because Joshua was there. You understand that? Joshua was faithful because Joshua was there. Joshua was faithful because Joshua was where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there, doing what he was supposed to be doing. At the Red Sea, where was Joshua? He was there. When they came out of Egypt, where was Joshua? He was there. When Moses came down out the mountain and he saw the unfaithful worship of a golden calf going on in the camp, where was Joshua? He was right there. When the water was turned, when the water came from the rock, and when manna came from heaven, where was Joshua? He was right there. When it was time to send spies into the promised land, where was Joshua? He was right there. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Where was Joshua? He was right there. Crossing over the Jordan into the promised land. Where was Joshua? He was right there. Fighting the battle of Jericho. Where was Joshua? He was right there. Whenever and wherever Israel needed him, Joshua was there. I'm here to tell you something. There's a greater one than Joshua has come this morning, beloved. You think that Joshua was there? You think Joshua was faithful? You think Joshua was where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there, doing what he was supposed to be doing? Let me say to you that there is one greater than Joshua who has come to the people of God. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, the Bible says that Moses and subsequently Joshua were faithful servants as over in the household of God. But Jesus Christ has come not simply as a faithful servant, but now has come as a faithful son. And like Joshua, when you need him, he's there. Do you have mountains to climb? He'll be there. He'll be there. Do you have any burdens to bear? He will be there. In the valley of the shadow of death, he will be there. Even as the psalmist says in Psalms 27 and verse 10, even when your mother and father forsake you, the Lord says, like Michael Jackson, I'll be there. I'll be there. That's what he does. Whether it's the dorm room or the courtroom or the emergency room, Jesus is faithful. He will be there. He is our Joshua. He is faithful. He'll be there. Because that's what faithfulness is. It means that you're there. Joshua was there. Yeshua is here this morning. Whatever you're going through, beloved, the Lord is here. He is faithful. You can call on him. He's here. He's with you. Coming to the end. Joshua's time in leading Israel, you see the faithfulness of Joshua. But it also reminds us, the text reminds us here of the faithfulness of Israel during the time of Joshua. Right? In verse 31, chapter 24, piggybacking on the faithfulness of Joshua, here was the faithfulness of the nation. This generation of Israelites were called. Under the leadership of Joshua, this generation, under the direction and the example of Joshua, this generation was called faithful, or as the Bible says, served the Lord all the days of Joshua. That's a remarkable statement. That really is a remarkable statement. It wasn't said about their parents. It wasn't said about their grandparents. But this generation here, under the leadership and example of Joshua, the Bible says, serve the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now, immediately when I read that, the first thing that comes to mind is the times that they didn't. I mean, you might be tempted to find this statement strange. Initially reading it, I thought so. And some might even consider it contradictory to what we have already seen and known in the life of Israel, even under Joshua. They had not always been faithful. They did not always do right. There's two things I want you to remember this morning. There's two things I want to leave with you this morning concerning the Bible's understanding of faithfulness. And the first one is this. Faithfulness does not mean that you never fall, never fail, or never forget. Okay, faithfulness does not mean you never fall, you never fail, or you never forget. They failed at Ai. They forgot to pray when it came to the Gibeonites. Beloved, God's people often fail. The 12 disciples are a case study in spiritual failure. Who this morning in East Point Church hasn't sinned and fallen short of glorifying God as you're supposed to? Faithfulness does not mean that you never fail. Faithfulness means that when you do fall, you are willing to pray yourself back up. Faithfulness means that when you do fail, you are willing to repent, to seek the Lord, to turn from that unrighteous way. Faithfulness means, according to 2 Timothy 2:13, it means that you believe and trust that even when you are unfaithful, God remains faithful. That's faithfulness. That's the faithfulness God is looking for. That even when you fall, you know he doesn't. Even when you fail, you know he hasn't. And even when you have been unfaithful, you know he remains faithful. Faithfulness, beloved, means that when you fail, you trust in 1 John 1:9. That when you sin, you know that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness should you only confess. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness doesn't mean that you never fail. Doesn't mean you never fall. It means that you trust the one who never does. It means you're willing to confess your sins and know that he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from any unrighteousness. That's the first thing. Faithfulness does not mean that you never fail or that you never fall. The second thing that you need to understand about what the Bible here is speaking about faithfulness is that grace sees us better than we are. Always does. Always does, beloved. Notice the Bible says there in verse, they served the Lord all the days of Joshua and beyond. All the days of Joshua. They served the Lord all the days of Joshua. God has this written, this statement, this affirmation in his word, and God knew what he was doing because God knew what he had promised. They were faithful because God said so. They were faithful because God declared it. Now, I don't want you to miss that, beloved. Don't you miss that, okay? Their faithfulness is not according to your idea of faithfulness. Their faithfulness is because God declared it so. God said, she's faithful. And I'm like, no, God, I saw, she's faithful. I said, no, God, I saw her fall, I saw her fail, and God says, what I say. She's faithful because God said so. God calls us saints when we ain't, because grace sees us better than we are. God calls us beloved when we are anything but, because grace sees us better than we are. God declares us righteous, not because of who we are, but because of what he does. He says, my people have been faithful. I have spoken. That's what God does, beloved. Because God is faithful. And he's going to bring his people to faithfulness as he has declared. When Eve fell into sin, all she could see was sin. But God saw the Savior. When Sarah doubted, the Lord still blessed her womb. When David fell, God still, beloved, secured his kingdom. In fact, in the face of Peter's pride, Jesus says in Luke 22, beginning in verse 32, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that you do not fall. But still, when you turn, when you repent, when you are converted. Now, I'm sure Peter was like, what are you talking about? I said, I'm with you. I said, I'm standing with you. I said, I'm going to be faithful. And Jesus says, when you be unfaithful, when you fail, Peter, when you fall. Better than that, Peter. When you turn, when you are converted, when you repent, you strengthen the brothers and sisters in faithfulness. Why is that so important, beloved? It's because when God is looking at your life and he's looking at my life, God doesn't just see the fall. He sees the turn. He doesn't just see the failure. He sees the conversion. He doesn't just see the failure, beloved. He sees the turn to faithfulness. Why? Because grace always sees you better than you are, because God sees you through the eyes of Christ. How can he say you're righteous? Because he sees you in Christ. How can he say you're faithful? Because he sees you in Christ. How can he call you holy? Because he sees you in Christ. How can he call you beloved? Because he sees you in Christ. That's grace. That's love. That's mercy. Beloved, that's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. God's people are faithful because God is. And that's what it tells us, right? That's what it tells us. That's what it tells us. I mean, the faithfulness of Israel, the faithfulness of Joshua, is really just pointing us to, it's really all about the faithfulness of God. And this is what the book of Joshua really is all about, isn't it? It's not about Joshua. You know, when you read Acts and you open your Bible and it says the Acts, or it says the Acts of the Apostles, right? The Acts is not the Acts of the Apostles. Acts are the Acts of the Apostles by the hand and the wisdom and the power of God, Holy Spirit. When you open and you read Joshua, this is not about Joshua. This is about the power and the grace and the mercy of God through Joshua for his people. It's about the faithfulness of God. It's about the faithfulness of God. That's what it tells us in verse 31. At the end of Joshua's, at the end of his life, he can ask the question, why was Israel in the land? Think about that. Why had they entered and been able to secure the promised land? Well, there's several reasons. The first one is because Israel had been faithful. And God had rewarded their faithfulness. The second reason is because Joshua had been faithful. And God had honored Joshua's service and leadership. But the main reason that they were in the promised land was because God was faithful and he was keeping his promises. Here were people. Therefore, here were people, as we have said before, who had not taken the grace of God for granted. Here were people who had not received the grace of God in vain. For they had seen the hand of God's mercy. They had witnessed his works of grace. They had, as it says in verse 31, known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. They had seen God as faithful and true. I have a question for you this morning. What is your favorite attribute of God? Ever thought about that? Perhaps you haven't. Perhaps you've never really sat down to think about that and never really thought about that. And if put on the spot, I asked you this morning, what is your favorite attribute? I'm sure that a lot of you would say his love, or you would say his grace, or you would say the sovereignty of God. We're not going to say the reasons for that. Or his goodness. Or his power. Or even his immutability. And beloved, there is no wrong answer here. And because we all know that God is his attributes. And at any given time, any one of those attributes could be bearing and weighing in on our lives, blessing us with the person and the work of God in our lives. So there is no wrong answer this morning, but I would suggest in my own life that there is not a day that goes by that I don't thank God for his faithfulness to me. You cannot overappreciate. You cannot overestimate faithfulness, beloved. It is what we all long for. It is what we hope for in our friends. It is what we look for in spouses. It is what we're looking for in employees. It is what we're hoping for in teammates and students and teachers. But it is what the Bible tells us we see in God. Faithfulness, faithfulness. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, the Bible says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generation of those who love him and keep his commandment, beloved. And this here, at the end of Joshua's life, was that generation that had seen the goodness of God, that generation that had seen the faithfulness of God, that generation that had been given faithful service and faithful leaders that could point them to God being faithful and keeping his promises. This was that generation who had known that God was faithful. God had kept his promises. God had kept his promises to Abraham. God had kept his promises to Moses.
God had kept his promises to Joshua because God is faithful. But again, I must say to you, in case you haven't understood, I might remind you that there is one greater than Abraham, that there is one greater than Moses, that there is one greater than Joshua. And if you think God kept his promises to Moses, and if you think God kept his promises to Joshua, you know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, that now all the promises of God find their yes in Christ Jesus, and in Christ Jesus are given their final amen. He is the one. He is the one to whom God has given all promises. And he is the one through whom God keeps all his promises to his people. You do understand, right? That God sent Moses to do one thing, right? And that was to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. Then God sent Joshua to do another thing, and that was to lead Israel into the promised land. But then he sent Jesus to do everything. He sent Jesus just to do everything. He sent Jesus to lead you out of bondage. He sent Jesus to guide you through the wilderness. He sent Jesus to lead you in the promised land because all of his promises are yes and amen in Jesus. And that's why we call him faithful. That's why his name is faithful. And faithful you are, and faithful you shall be. That's why we sing, isn't it? I call you faithful. Lord, you are faithful. You are so faithful to me. I call you faithful. Your name is faithful. And faithful you are. And faithful, faithful, faithful you'll be. I listened to a sermon this week. A man was preaching on Joshua. At the end of the message, he said, "And you can be Joshua." And I almost cried. Because I can't be Joshua. But I got one who is. And to read Joshua, beloved, is not to read about you. But to read Joshua is to read about Jesus. I'm not Joshua. No, beloved. I'm the one that Joshua's leading. I'm way in the back. I'm bringing up the rear. I'm looking to the front, and I'm saying, is Joshua up there? And it comes back to me, he's there because he's always there. He's always where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, doing what he's supposed to be doing. And that's why we call him faithful. Faithful you are, and faithful, faithful you'll be. Let's pray.